You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. Delighted to be in the studio as we answer your questions that are coming in from around the world. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. As just mentioned, numerically, 888-275-4265. And remember, our contact information on the web is always equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As well, our resource consultants are standing by, as always, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. The book, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World and 5 Others That Didn't Help, by Benjamin Weicker, available for those who support the ministry all this month. An incredible resource. I'm going to be going over the contents of this book little by little as we go through the month. But you think about books like The Manifesto of the Communist Party. I commented on that, I believe, in yesterday's broadcast, or The Descent of Man. This is one of the most draconian books one could possibly imagine, written by Charles Darwin himself. And it overtly talks about eugenics. In other words, if we can weed out the feeble within, well, let's say lower species like horses or like farm animals, why not weed out those that are infirm with respect to human beings? So Darwin talks about this overtly in The Descent of Man, and I'm going to be talking about that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast coming up on Monday. In other words, we're not going to do anything. I scared the people in the... I really scared you guys, didn't I? The guys in the control tower, booth, whatever. I mean, I scared them. But anyway, I'm going to be talking about that on Monday. Today, I want to say something about a book called Utilitarianism. It was written back in 1863 by John Stuart Mill. And seldom has such a little book created such a large amount of societal havoc. As Mill himself admits, utilitarianism is not original. It is merely a revival of, well, a revival of the teachings of Epicurus. It is the ancient philosophy that he had as the first evolutionist. We think of Darwin being the first evolutionist, and that simply is not the case. It was Epicurus, a man who was convinced that all the world's evils are caused by religion, and as such, religion needed to be swept from the historical stage, well, like the mere rubbish it represented. In place of a God who created the universe at a distinct point in time, Epicurus believed the universe had eternally existed, and therefore there's no need for a God in order to create the universe, an uncaused first cause. Mill could not so much as imagine that there might be souls that exist, because he lived in a utilitarian society, to wit the name of his book, Utilitarianism. A utilitarian society where souls might long for something greater, well, it was mythological in his view. Something more noble, something more godlike than spending their days maximizing physical pleasure and seeking to eliminate pain. Well, that wasn't part of his worldview. In fact, maximizing physical pleasure, seeking to eliminate pain, was part of his worldview. In fact, it was the whole of his worldview in many ways, because in the end, he set the tone for a post-truth culture in which morality's foundation is not God, but the pursuit of pleasure minus pain. And we may well say that of Mill, that he was the ultimate ends justify means philosopher whose poisonous seed blossomed ultimately into the horrifying notion that nothing is intrinsically good or evil. Instead, well, it is utility, utilitarianism, that ultimately determines what is right or wrong, good or bad. And again, as Benjamin Weicker has well said, ideas have consequences, and of course, in the case of bad ideas, the consequences are grave. Utilitarianism, one of the books that screwed up the world by John Stuart Mill. You can read it, about it in 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. The book available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Ideas have consequences, Christina, and bad ideas have horrendous consequences for civilization.
That's true, and that's why I take, and I believe that you take this broadcast so seriously. I know that I've heard from you before that even in writing your books, you might spend an entire day on a page because, you know, with teaching comes a stricter judgment, as it says in Scripture. I'm not exactly sure what the verse is, but
James says it.
Yeah, we are held accountable, and that's why it is so important to know these ideas that we are putting out there and to realize that we need to pray and to constantly be in the Spirit and in the Word to know that even if we say something that's wrong or something that could be perceived as wrong, that God can use it for His glory.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, so many questions come in and they deserve good answers. John Brown, he asks, how long after the death of Muhammad can we date the first complete manuscript of the Quran? And by the way, these questions come in through email, Facebook, Twitter, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So a lot of ways in which questions are coming, and why do we answer those questions? Well, we do so we can demonstrate that there are answers to questions and that the Christian worldview stands up to scrutiny. But in this case, what's interesting is that the earliest extant fragments of the Quran possibly could be dated to the 7th century or to around the time, it is said, of Muhammad. Well, not exactly that time, but at least within the later part of the 7th century. But what's interesting is that after Muhammad dies, you have Uthman. He is the third of the rightly guided caliphs. So you have the golden age of the caliphs, so-called. It's 29 years, and it spans the time from the death of Muhammad to the fourth rightly guided caliph. But Uthman was the third, and he commissioned the burning of variant versions of the Quran in order to establish a singular authorized version. Now, this is not my opinion. You can see that in Sahih Bukhari. And from then until now, discovery of manuscripts that survived the burning are not only not cherished, they're actually censored. So if we find manuscripts, we're really excited as Christians. Not so in Islam. They're not only not cherished, they're actually, as I said, they're censored. The entire smoldering mess would have been unnecessary if there had indeed been a perfectly preserved copy to begin with, but there was no such thing. And I think there's a big contrast, therefore, between the Quran and the Bible. And that contrast is this. There never was a time in ecclesiastical history with respect to the New Testament that any person, any group, could determine its contents. Instead, its books were written at various times and then copied and distributed. And by the time anyone did obtain centralized power, the copies had long been buried in the sands of time. And while there is no such thing as, quote, a mother of the book in Christianity, We have something far, far better, a treasure trove of manuscripts. The beauty from a biblical perspective is that the wealth of manuscripts empowers textual critics to credibly sort out copyist errors. And they do that in order that the autograph may emerge unscathed. The New Testament has better manuscript attestation, better than any other work of antiquity. You think of Tacitus or Flavius Josephus. You think of Suetonius. You think about works of antiquity. They do not have the kind of attestation from a manuscript standpoint that you have with the New Testament of the Bible. And what's really cool about this is you can piece together virtually the entire highlight reel of the life of Jesus Christ completely apart from the Bible. So a lot of people say, well, you're depending on Jesus Christ to come up with details about Jesus Christ. You're depending on the Bible for that. But the truth of the matter is you can find the highlight reel in the writers who were antagonists to Jesus Christ and yet end up becoming those who validate the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, including his death by crucifixion. And that's why we can now say with certainty that the Quran is factually flawed on many, many counts, but certainly on the count of Christ's crucifixion. When the Quran dogmatically says that Christ was not crucified, we can say, well, all of the evidence supports the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and thereby the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have the antagonists to Christ, to the history of Christianity, attesting to the historical reality, not only of Christ, but also of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and again, vicariously of his resurrection as well.
Yeah, and something really cool I've remembered from when I was in Hong Kong, I taught there for a year, I went to this, an exhibition of biblical manuscripts. And one of the guys there, I forget his name, he said, you know, the amazing thing about these manuscripts is that I almost think it's God's providence, because how much more would we idolize the Bible instead of the God it represents if we had a central copy, as if it were like, you know, we talked about in a podcast that's coming up sometime soon about the golden calf and how the Israelites were tempted to worship that, and how much more would we be tempted to worship the words of God, his revelation, instead of God himself.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think that's an amazing thing. And who would control that mother of the book?
Yeah.
You know, you think the Shroud of Turin is an issue in that regard. I mean, think about what this mother of the book would be if it existed. But God preserved the manuscript in a treasure trove of manuscript whereby you can get back to the autograph. And the reason you can do that is because while there are mistakes in the manuscripts, they're not the same mistakes. So if I took a page out of one of my books and I asked you to copy it and 10 of your friends to do so as well, and then I lost the original page, let's say the book wasn't published yet and I just written that page and I gave it to you. If you all hand copied that page, even if I lost the original, I'd have 10 copies. Well, all those copies would have mistakes. You know, some of you would misspell a word, you'd forget a conjunction, there would be mistakes, but they wouldn't all be the same mistakes. And so if you take even 10 copies, you can get back to the original without the original. Now imagine if you have over 5,000 copies, you can get back to the original with very, very little difficulty. So you have the manuscript evidence, you have archaeological evidence, you have predictive prophecies, particularly about the life of Jesus Christ, what is going to happen before it actually happens, his ancestry, his birth, his crucifixion, the date of his visitation within narrow historical parameters, that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, and many other such things, that he would not abolish the law. He'd fulfill the law and the prophets, that he wouldn't be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but that he would have an outreach that covered the earth. So you not only had a gospel for the Jewish people, but for people of every tongue and every nation and every people throughout the world. Again, I've written about that in many different places, including a book devoted to demonstrating the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Has God Spoken? You can find it on the web at equip.org, bookstores everywhere. My latest book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, also available for those who support the ministry. And you can check out the books on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be answering questions immediately when we come back from the break.
Ideas do have consequences, and bad ideas have cost untold millions of lives. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly and wittily distilled some of history's most dangerous and damaging thinking in 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. From the new podcast, Hank Unplugged, to instructive videos on our YouTube channel and the interactive and engaging episodes of Facebook Live, we are greatly increasing the impact of CRI's global ministry by expanding our digital arsenal. Join us by subscribing to, rating, and reviewing these life-enriching new outlets of information and enlightenment. This small act can immensely expand our reach and is one of many ways for you to join us and stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go right to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Craig in New York, New York, you're on the air. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
Hank, my question is about the Quran. I know you've done a lot of studying on it. I just wanted to ask, does the Quran teach that the world is flat?
Well, there's language in the Quran that would make you think such a thing, like Quran 71, I think the ayah is 19, where it says that Allah has made the earth for you as a carpet, or Quran 15, again, I think the ayah is around 19, where Allah says, and the earth we have spread out like a carpet. So it is said in various places. But that does not mean that we ought to interpret this in a wooden literalistic fashion. That's not fair to the Quran, just as it would not be fair to the Bible. So this is metaphorical language. And I think we can say in a collegial fashion, even though I obviously have many, many things to say about the Quran, their denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, or Muhammad said that a man could have more than one wife, up to four wives, and Muhammad could have as many wives as his heart desired, essentially. And you know, you could beat your wife to bring her back into subjection and all these kinds of things. So many, many problems you could point out with respect to the ethics of the Quran and also with the factual errors that the Quran makes. But I don't think this would be fair because scholarly opinion, and this is early on in human history, even at the time of Augustine, would pronounce the earth spherical as opposed to flat. So have there been flat earthers in Islam? Absolutely. Have there been flat earthers in the guise of Christianity? Absolutely. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that a lunar eclipse is not produced by a flat earth. So the basic problem here is that postmodern man might do science well in some cases, but they don't know how to do the art and science of scriptural interpretation all that well. And even the Greeks before the time of Christ knew that the earth was round. So I think, Craig, the answer to the question is, no, I don't think that it's fair to impugn the Quran at this point.
Okay. All right, thank you, Hank. Appreciate it.
You got it. And, you know, this whole moniker, Flat Earth, is flat-out propaganda. You think about a book, A History of the Warfare of Science with Theology in Christendom. It was written by Andrew Dixon White. He was the president and founder of Cornell University. And unfortunately, a bit bigoted. He decried the regrettable reality that 200 years after Magellan had empirically proven that the Earth was round, this was back in, I think it was just 2 years after the Reformation, 1519, Christian fundamentalists persisted in perpetuating flat Earth mythology. But again, this hardly corresponds to reality. It's propaganda. As I said, a unanimous scholarly opinion from the Greeks to Augustine to Aquinas, they pronounced the earth spherical, and it was because the evidence is there, so to speak, to see. So the notion that evolutionary man somehow or other is more enlightened than early man is the vestigial prejudice of Darwinian dogma. We have an accumulation of knowledge, but it doesn't mean that we're smarter than the ancients. They couldn't produce iPads or iPods, but that's because we have an accumulation of knowledge they didn't have. But it doesn't mean that we are smarter or more philosophically sophisticated or more linguistically sophisticated.
Yeah, I remember I was at the Connect conference. It's a conference for Orthodox young adults, and I am not myself Orthodox, but I went to go see what it was all about. I'm very curious, as you've gone on this journey and tried to look into it. And this guy, Father, I think his name was Father Barnabas. I'm not sure. Or Father Gregory, I believe. I'm not exactly
Barnabas,
sure.
Barnabas, Gregory also.
But he made this comment about how, you know, scientists climb up this mountain of knowledge thinking they know, oh, we've discovered this. And then at the top of the mountain, they see a bunch of philosophers and they're like, oh, hey, nice to see you here. We've been here for, you know, a long time. Glad you finally got here. So just like this self-revelation that God gives us to us either through His word or through what we observe about the world is something that is amazing, and science is starting to figure out things that God told us a while ago.
Yeah, that famous painting, Peter Paul Rubens, I believe, the painting of the Eucharist. And in that painting you have theology portrayed as a wise and grizzled veteran, and then you have philosophy and riding alongside the two, or walking along, is science, a newcomer in the cosmic conversation, sort of the same thing that you just mentioned. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Tacoma, Washington, KCIS. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Great, great. Truly a treasure to talk with you again. My question is in regards to Carlton Pearson.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that he had switched, and actually he came from the background that I came out of, Church of God in Christ, and I know he had morphed into having the doctrine of inclusion, and I had the opportunity, it was many years ago, to speak with him face to face in regards to that, and I even brought you up, and I take it you and he don't go fishing often, it wasn't his favorite subject when I brought
Although
you
he
up,
wants to be on the Bible Answer Men broadcast, he wants to have a conversation with me on the broadcast, I'm kind of thinking that might be fun.
Yeah, and what was funny is this summer, again, reached out to him, and he got back with me, and I said, look, you know, maybe you and Hank can have this dialogue, and he said to me that, well, Hank may be scared of it, and you might get saved. Both of us will get saved. I think, okay, whatever. And so, I wanted to get your take in regards to his teaching.
Yeah, I mean, his teaching is directly opposed to the teaching of Jesus Christ, and you know, the teaching that everyone ultimately is going to be saved is a teaching that is unfair to those who do not want a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about Christopher Hitchens. He said right up until the time of his death, he was dying. I forget what he was dying of. Was it cancer or something like that? But he was dying, and he said, you know, if anybody tells you that somehow or other I had a deathbed conversion, please know that they are lying to you. I want nothing to do with God. Now, he didn't believe in God, but if there was such a thing as God, he wouldn't want anything to do with God. So if you said that he was saved, what you would do is you would make heaven hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which is a torment worse than hell. Common sense tells us that not all would be saved. I mean, if all would be saved, then what is the point of Christ suffering more than any human being, suffering more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might have a relationship with him for time and for eternity? Little needs to be said about the absurdity of such a notion, and yet Carlton Pearson evolved into that notion. He was a Word of Faith teacher for many years, and now he's evolved into a universalist and teaches all kinds of interesting things based on very interesting reasoning. So as far as Carlton Pearson is concerned, no, I'm not afraid of him. I would pray for him. I would love to have a collegial conversation with him. I don't think about this as a, you know, one guy beating the other in a conversation. Never thought about it in that way. It's never my goal to win an argument. It is always my goal to win a person.
And winning the people is what the ultimate goal should be. We can have these conversations where we disagree on things, and we should. I don't think anyone should ever shy away from a conversation that, you know, just because you have different opinions. I had a friend that didn't want to talk about something because we had different perspectives, and he knew we did. And I said, no, this is important for us to talk about this because we need to understand each other's perspectives, because it's about getting to know each other, and you're not going to win anyone to the gospel or to your opinion by beating them over the head with it. It's by having conversation and seeing each other's point of view.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about reaching people. I remember I was talking about Christopher Hitchens. I remember as a very young girl, I think you were in high school at the time?
Something like that. A little ambitious.
You had a little conversation with Christopher Hitchens, and you kind of felt like you might have got in over your head.
Oh, yeah. I had talked to him about something in Scripture, and he countered it, and I did not know what to say. And I remember we went to eat after, and I went crying into your lap because I was like, I don't know. He's not going to be with Jesus, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and why don't I know anything? Why can't I be like you, Dad? I was so upset. I wish
but
he would
have. But he actually treated you in a very, very nice way.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of standing there.
He didn't treat me as stupid.
Huh?
He didn't treat me as stupid.
Yes, I thought that was pretty.
He took me unfair.
Exactly. I thought that was pretty cool. You know what? We're going to go back to the phone lines when we come back from the break. We also get the quote of the day. I think you'll find very, very interesting. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Give you a little clue on something that I see on the board that I'd like to address. Jenny, who is calling from Bellevue, Washington, and is asking about Allah. And we're going to talk about this. It's a very, very interesting question about Allah. I'm not going to give away all the details, but that's a call we'll address when we come back from the break. Do you remember, as always, the number to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And please, I love this ministry, and if you love this ministry, please consider supporting the ministry prayerfully and financially. This ministry has some of the most wonderful people in-house, but also so many wonderful people that are supporting us from the outside, so to speak. But they're team members, just the same, touching the lives of people all around the world. And this is an eternal project. When people's lives are touched, they're not only touched for time, but also for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Got some great resources available to those who support the ministry all this month. And again, we're going to be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day, so please don't touch that dial.
From Machiavelli's The Prince to Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto to Alfred Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, these influential books have led to war, genocide, totalitarian oppression, family breakdown, and disastrous social experiments. And yet, these authors' bad ideas are still popular and pervasive. In fact, they might influence your own thinking without your realizing it. Read 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged, a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For more than 50 years, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can also hear best-selling author and CRI President Hank Hanegraaff on Hank Unplugged, a new podcast designed to range farther and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. Out of the studio and into his study, Hank will invite some of his closest friends and brightest minds onto the Hank Unplugged podcast for free-flowing, truly engaging discussions on issues that you care about. For insightful analysis and commentary on living Christianly in a post-Christian world, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, and wherever else you listen to your podcast. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. And the quote of the day comes from Sebastian Gorka. I thought about him because I was watching him on television yesterday, and he made a very wise comment. It is the quote of the day. He said, "You cannot win a war if you cannot talk honestly about the enemy." And so it is critical that we understand Islam. It is the very reason that I wrote the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It's a big topic, so there's got to be a way in which you can wrap your arms around that very big topic. So again, the quote of the day from Sebastian Gorka, worked in the White House up until quite recently, and also wrote some books that I benefited from greatly when I wrote my own book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Again, the book available to those who support the ministry. And if you want a personalized copy for those who join Sierra's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Back to the phone calls. Jenny next in Bellevue, Washington. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, hi, Hank. Thank you so much for being there for us all.
My pleasure.
I'm curious, quite some time ago, back in 09 or 10, I went to a little church up in northern Washington and listened to a talk by Brigitte Gabriel. I'm sure you know who she is. And she was talking about Allah, the moon god, and she inspired me to want to learn more about Islam and the dangers of. And so I did quite a bit of research, but I found that that Muhammad was raised in the religion of the moon god, Allah. And I'm wondering if that's true.
Well, I think what's important to realize is that Muhammad grew up in the Arabian Peninsula, in Mecca. And Mecca was a place of many, many gods. It was a polytheistic context in which he grew up. And so in that context, there certainly may have been people that co-opted the word Allah. The point, however, I think that we have to recognize, it's a point that I make over and over again on the broadcast, is that words and phrases are not univocal, they are equivocal, meaning they take on the meaning that we pour into the word. So if you are a Christian in the Middle East and you speak Arabic and you say Allah, you are now talking about Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ, the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Conversely, if you are a Muslim today and you use the word Allah, then you're talking about a Unitarian God and a morally deficient God at that for many, many reasons. But so I think the real issue here is simply that words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. If a Christian were to use the word Allah, we again would be talking about the Christian God in Arabic. If a Muslim uses that word, they're talking about the Unitarian God. And if a pagan uses that word, they may be talking about anything, like a moon god or some other kind of a deity that is part of the pagan process.
I heard somewhere, I don't remember where, that Allah was Muhammad's daddy's favorite god. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, we read things and we don't, and that's why I want clarification.
Yeah, I mean, I could look into that because I'm not absolutely certain of that. I have sort of heard a debate about that over the years, but I'm not absolutely certain, so I couldn't give you a definitive answer on that off the top of my head, but I could look into that, what I call research in return. So if you want to give us the information whereby we can get the answer out to you, I'd be happy to do that, or I can also give it on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny. Appreciate your call. And yeah, it's so interesting when you talk about Allah. Allah is really Muhammad's alter ego. Why Allah provided Muhammad with a divine exception to marry to his heart's desire. And this was very, very different from what the Quranic prescription that supposedly Muhammad got from Allah, that other Muslims could only marry up to four women. He could marry as many as he wanted because he got this supposed message from God that allowed him to do that. And so this divine exception was something that even his favorite wife, Aisha, seemed to recognize as a pattern. And she said to Muhammad, "I feel that your Lord hastens to fulfill your wishes and desires." So, you know, Muhammad wanted to marry more than four women. So, well, sure enough, his alter ego gave him the exception to do just that. And I think you find that in Quran 50, verse 33, or that's the surah and the ayah. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bryce in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Bryce.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good. It's cold here, but it's all good.
sure it is.
Question about Miles Monroe. We just studied him at our Bible study there. He had a sermon on prayer. And most of it I thought was excellent. Somebody brought up that we should listen to him. But one thing he said... God gave the humans dominion on earth. But then he went on to say that God has to ask our permission to do anything on earth. And I had a little trouble with that. Can you tell me a little bit about him or his...
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, I'm very glad that you did have a little difficulty with that. Of course, we're talking about the late Miles Monroe. He is no longer... on this planet. I mean, he's absent the body, and he's either present with the Lord or not. I cannot make that call. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. But he minced no words while he was alive. He said, "You have the same nature as God Himself." He says, "You create your own world the same way that God creates His world." He speaks and things happen. You speak and they happen. So according to Monroe, we license God rather than the other way around. And he was very emphatic about this. He said that I'm going to say this, and he says this over and over again. In fact, I wrote about this in a book, and that's why I know about this, a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. He said... with respect to the prayer that you're talking about, he said prayer is a human being or a man giving God authority or God license to interfere in the affairs of man. In fact, God, and then he said in a very dramatic way, I'm going to take a very deep breath because some of you religious people out there aren't going to understand me. He said, and then he would pause, a pregnant pause, and he said, are you ready for this? And everybody would be on the edge of their seat. God cannot do anything in the world without a human's permission. Now, that is a horrifying statement for anyone to make under the guise of Christianity. God cannot, without a human's permission, are you kidding me? How do you get that within the purview of a Christian worldview?
It's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, again, I wrote about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where I talk about little gods. Now, there is a deification that is perfectly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. In fact, I wrote about orthodoxy way back when I wrote this book, published in 1993. So there is a sense in which deification is perfectly legitimate. There's also a sense in which it is perfectly illegitimate. In other words, you demote God and you elevate man to the position of God. Certainly, we can, by grace... we can become by grace what God is by nature. But when the church spoke about that, they spoke about this within the context of the energies of God, not speaking of it as impersonal energies, but making a distinction between energies and essence. We can never know God in His essence. We can know Him in His energies and ultimately know Him through the person and work of Jesus Christ in a very personal way. So what Miles Monroe has written about in this regard is absolutely false. I mean, when you think about Nebuchadnezzar, he was punished, he was chastised for this very thing. Scripture reveals the unilateral power and province of the Almighty. And Monroe could have got a lesson from the heifers. Nebuchadnezzar, after 7 years hanging out with the heifers, he raised his eyes towards heaven and acknowledged that far from needing the permission of people, God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. You see that back in, I believe, Daniel chapter 4. So the problem with Miles Monroe, as with other prosperity preachers in general, is that they have little concept of who God really is. Nebuchadnezzar, with sanity restored, put it in perspective: those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. We're running out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Of course, we're going to be back on Monday with more of the show. As we close the broadcast, perhaps we ought to say something about the End It campaign.
Yeah, so Sunday is the International Day of Prayer. And so thinking of the International Day of Prayer, we want to have you guys pray for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East. And we have a campaign called the End It campaign. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that we have a magnet that you can put on your car, as well as a lapel pin, to stand in solidarity with Christians in the Middle East. So we hope that if you want these, you can text END IT in all capital letters to 41444 and be able to get it, or go to equip.org and talk to our resource consultants. And then also, yeah, just pray for them. And
hope that they're praying for us as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes. Well, sorry to cut you off there. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will be back next week with more of the show. Do remember, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're on Facebook and YouTube as well. So long for now. God bless.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip, www.bibleinsurance.org.